1 o'clock right here on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. You can also email the show, paragonradio@gmail.com, paragonradio@gmail.com. Artificial intelligence. Now, my go-to for making fun of Facebook is always talking about people updating the status of their pets, you know, and that, you know, Fifi's got a cold today. But that's part of this deep learning was actually used where they were able to recognize cats in videos without the software being told that cats exist. It's already about pets.
Can I alleviate everybody's fears about some of this? Because these are a few of the rabbit holes I've traveled mightily far down. First of all, the article that you're talking about mentioning what was the term? Knowledge.
Deep learning.
The internet itself, that's the basic crux of why DARPA installed the telecommunications as they are currently. It's not like, you know, Al Gore invented the internet and sold it, you know, and now we have it. It was definitely implemented by, you know, defense contractors under the umbrella of DARPA. So the whole entire thing is that artificial intelligence data gathering. It is the metadata that each one of these companies have a piece of, you know, that we've talked about several times. So
so do you think in the 60s and 70s they foresaw this type of free giving of information? I mean, do you think this is developed, or this is that we're just monkeys going according to their plan, or rats going down their maze?
A little of both. You know, there's not there's a give and take and a duality to things. You know, it does come in stages, but from the, you know, the telegraph machines to, you know, current telephones to the internet itself. You know, these technologies come from the same core of, you know, research institutes / corporations / universities that Eisenhower coined the military-industrial complex. You know, the Navy doesn't make satellites. You know, they shoot them into space and maintain them. But those satellites come from another source.
Right.
So I don't think... part of the calculus had to be, what if, you know, this tool of techno, what does Alex Jones call it, technocratic panopticon, the virtual prison planet that we're all uploaded into. You know, it was a progression, but they had to include, you know, what ifs, you know, in the scenario. But I think those were they were willing to have that be a possibility for the upside from their perspective of being able to control people and monitor people digitally, that if truth and freedom broke out, you know, there would be contingency plans for that. And I think that's why so many seekers of peace are assassinated. They're about at 100% now, right? with taking out the good guys. So
right.
They do let that information get there, let these people get some bit of a platform, and then they take them out publicly, which has its upside into, you know, squashing that notion that, you know, this any kid on the street could be the next MLK. That why go through that trouble, you know, to get assassinated in the end. So it has a chilling effect. And I don't think they're overly concerned with, you know, the truth getting out, because then there's the whole apathy and fluoride in the water, you know, the high fructose corn syrup and everything, plus all the pharmaceutical ways to calm people's aggressions and fancies of revolution. But I think, yeah, to answer your question, that the information sharing component, you know, had to be built in. But the overall grid, you know, is designed to control and predict and plan, you know, watch their backside. So Facebook is a specific, and I'm sure for things like, you know, marketing emotions, emotioneering is what they call it now. You know, Facebook would be specific to that. Same with Twitter. But the you know, entirety of the internet is designed to do what they're saying there, to create some sort of artificial intelligence. But the good news is, it's the Wizard of Oz scenario where the man behind the curtain, you know, is a little guy working levers. A lot of it is designed to freak people out because the brain scan technology is pretty high tech and pretty sophisticated, and they're making leaps and bounds. But the brain's not the whole story. We're not right. operating our full functioning as humans from the brain. It's responsible for a huge segment, and the stuff that it is, you know, it does well. But there's neural matter in the heart. There's neural matter in the guts. So, you know, they make pretty good robot arms and robot legs. They can mimic human motion. They're finding spots in the brain where emotion are, and pictures and, you know, differentiation, whether it's a cat or a dog or Pink Panther, I think was one of them. So, you know, that technology is there, but Ray Kurzweil is delusional because a lot of that is this fear of death and the missing of right. his father. That 10 to 20 year thing is, you know, very ambitious because, like I said, the just to upload somebody's intelligence or essence onto a machine, they think this brain technology would do it. But how many heart MRI scans, you know, are they finding thought waves in? And same with your gut. And, you know, the trillions of microbes, the flora and fauna of your gut are said to have, you know, relationship to things like autism or even depression. So how are you going to replicate, you know, the depression of a Picasso or a Van Gogh in a machine when, you know, maybe his poor diet played a role in his grieving after the girl left him before he's cut his ear off or what have you.
Right.
To upload somebody's essence onto a machine, you may get their memories. You may get some of their predictive behavior like neuroses or addictions or, you know, habits, stuff like that. But the essence of a person, and whether you believe in God or not, you know, a third of that is spirit, whatever that means, and that's metaphysical. And there's, you can't capture the metaphysical in the physical.
Well, Jake, it's really good to hear that you're going to be impervious to this, but I think the broader point that I'm seeing anyway with all this is that if you convince people that they're involved with this, if you convince somebody that they've uploaded their brain to the internet, if you convince somebody that they're part of this virtual reality and they don't need their physical body anymore, I mean, you've done it. It doesn't have to be. I mean, I would imagine myself that you would leave out most of whatever you're talking about. You know, your gut or your heart or your physical body. I think that's the point.
Right.
Right. I mean, I think that's, you know, clearly saying that you aren't going to be limited by all the whatever he called, what he referred to, fail modes of the human body. Right. You're talking about the fail modes.
Right.
Well, the heart and the gut and all these other things that prevent you from being a Superman.
Well, but what Jake is talking about is more, it sounds to me more like the interconnectedness or the interaction between your heart and your brain, between other parts, that the brain is not the entire locus of our usness.
Fair enough. I'm saying, right. But what I'm saying is that if you tell somebody, if somebody is like, I've uploaded... if you convince somebody's
right,
brain,
no, people would be great with the whole notion that, boy, all of my thoughts are there, and I can get to jump over.
Well, this is what you do, and now you're controlled in a virtual reality.
Right.
and you're no longer concerned with your physical reality.
People
so
would,
then by default you would be controlled there as well, no?
You Jake? Would be controlled there, you say? In that,
if you
in
get that, somebody to okay, so if we're talking about
right, they would cede control to this new reality that would allow them to be the Superman.
Isn't that, I mean, I'm not a big Matrix guy, but
because that's what you're talking about, is the Matrix.
They
like,
can construct
and I can see people getting down with that.
Right, I think they could construct a super illusion that would have you convinced that you're now fully under control of the Borg, but. Like the Matrix movie, I think
you're in fact
you could unplug from it, and in some sense, and it's not. You
I'm
know,
not saying well, right? Of course you could, or you could just not plug into it. I think would be the broader point,
right?
Because I think,
but the notion of living forever through that is one that you know it's the vampire.
It's a, well, exactly. It's a vampire. It's an illusion that you would live forever, right?
Absolutely,
because I mean, he's trying to say that, you know, Kurzweil says that, of course, our notions of what we would do with a life that lasted forever, we would get incredibly bored. I mean, that's the whole vampire lore, is that vampires eventually get bored.
Right.
You know?
They start doing TV shows.
Yeah,
they blockbuster movies.
Yeah, absolutely. They get really tired of immortality.
They go back to high school.
But he's saying that what we would do then is we would grow our brains. We would get a new frontal lobe or a new cortex, and then we would no longer be. You know, we wouldn't look at the world through our lens of our current lens. We would open our minds even more, and we would no longer be bored. Now, my whole point here is this, is that what is being offered here that people are going to engage in is something that is just complete and total control over everything that they do. I mean, I think that was the point of the Matrix, right?
Right.
Because once you're in the Matrix, you are completely controlled.
You're
I mean, I don't know. That movie's not important to me. And it was really important to a lot of people. But this idea of getting people to trade in their physical bodies or the power they have over their physical bodies so they can live in some sort of illusion of immortality in a virtual body. There's a lot of folks out there that are going to go, cool.
Sign me
right.
up.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do that. And that is the power of that. Right there
and that's
is the
when
power
you
of that.
Have already, that's when you have become the Matrix for, you know, following that
And you might have people who have the money to then be, you know, have their fail modes, their physical fail modes reprogrammed by computers so they age much slower or they don't get these same genetic diseases that right. we have, because that's clearly coming. The blend between biology and computer technology, transhumanism, whatever, is clearly coming, because as they continue to make transistors smaller and smaller, at some point they're going to have to start making them on the same level of
DNA.
Yeah, right. That same intricate level. That's clearly going to happen. That's Moore's law, and it's probably happening right as we speak. This kind of stuff is going on. And it's, you know, it's not going to be available for various reasons for everybody, for the average human being for a long time. I mean, clearly being cost prohibitive. And do you want to give people the access to these, you know, technologies? You would clearly, if you were part of an elite that had a concept or a control over this technology, would you want to invite Raytown along?
No, you wouldn't
want to invite Raytown along.
And that's the scary implication of that whole train of thought, is that at some point this does not become, like, that's what I was saying earlier, it's not your normal, like, at one point only the super rich had cell phones, now everybody's got a cell phone. This is not the type of thing that would be shared with everyone.
Well, the reality
would simply be, at that point, it would be like, we don't really need this many people, so we need to get rid of some of them. Or You know what I mean? That to me, that's the implication there.
And there's a lot of services through the internet that you get for free because you have commercial advertising involved with them, right?
Right.
A lot of services out there that you can listen to music through services, and if you don't have the pay service, then every third song they play an advertisement for you, or you have to do it through Facebook or something like that.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's what I think. So, I mean, does that make sense, Jake? I mean, I don't know that you alleviated much for me.
No, it does, but also technology has fail modes. That's another thing.
I mean, fair enough, but if you convince people that they're a part of something, that's all you mean, people are convinced that Facebook is keeping them more connected with the people around them.
No,
and if you're far, far away, fair enough. Facebook is helping you, keep connected with, the central high class of 1988. I get that. You know, I mean, that's sure. You know, it keeps you connected with your family that's really far away. It allows you to share pictures, etc. You know, but this notion that you're in a social circle that is made better or strengthened strengthened by Facebook is an illusion to me.
You know, there's.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that people are then, instead of being involved in a social circle, they're using as we are social animals and have been for, hundreds of thousands of years, they're using a third party system of a buffer, something they have to have, an apparatus, they have to have a mechanism to then do something that was very natural and normal for a long time. And now people are engaged in these little, just anywhere you go now. It's like, I love looking at the file footage of anything that happened in the 90s. Because everyone's smoking and nobody's talking on a cell phone.
Right.
It's that quick. 10 years ago.
That used to be Facebook, was smoking. We're going outside to smoke. Absolutely. Everybody's going out to talk.
It's a social thing. 10 years ago, YouTube didn't really exist. Think about how that changed everything. That changed. It's like YouTube changed the way people could look at the internet, in that now we can share videos. Now it's not just about pictures and audio and words. It's about videos now. And all this stuff got uploaded to the internet. And now you can watch stuff on your computer. 10 years ago, when did YouTube come out? 2004, 2005?
Somewhere in there.
Right. 10 years ago, that didn't exist. That changed so much of the way that people look at the internet and changed what people do with their computers. All these things keep having these amazing snowball effects.
Well, a little bit before 2004, because I remember watching YouTube videos.
10 years ago, nobody knew what the hell YouTube was.
Of the Kerry Bush. Wasn't that Kerry Bush? 2004?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember videos about those two being.
But my point is that 10 years ago, nobody knew what the hell YouTube was about.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it definitely. That's a new technology or new avenue for.
And it changed what people did with it. Yeah, it was created by 3 PayPal employees in February of 2005.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, not that you couldn't have watched YouTube videos. I mean,
well, yeah, I guess there were other avenues for video. That just became a central channel. Like, they created a central channel.
Well, yeah, right.
Channel.
It was, well, right.
So, it's entirely possible.
It was the idea that you could upload. You could upload it. Yeah, I mean, videos existed on the internet, but it wasn't, not anybody could do it. Wasn't just out there available for anyone to do. So it revolutionized the way what people did with the internet, right? I mean, it really changed. It was a massive game changer. And what was the next game changer for what people did with the internet?
Then the social, was it Napster and?
Napster was way before, right?
MySpace.
Right. Social media.
Friendster.
Yeah.
Was that one? Friendster? I don't remember that. Did I miss one?
You didn't miss much, man. You didn't miss much at all. All these things had their effect, still have their effect, are constantly changing. I mean, who? And then, so we're looking at the next one will be, you know, I mean, Google's always already talking about being able to use this technology to keep you alive forever, right, on the internet in some sort of cute way, to where you'll be able to maybe upload a certain amount of information about you and continue to just engage in social media. I mean, just to have an avatar of your actual self, right?
Right.
I mean, that's essentially what we're talking about.
Right.
And if there's an avatar of your actual self that a computer has algorithms that are predicting your actions and you are engaging with other examples of this on the internet, you see how people are going to get incredibly distracted from their actual realities by this?
Here's another
I don't mean to sound
fail mode in that technology.
Down on people.
In that technology train that you're talking about is, if you remember, MySpace was very much like Facebook, becoming very ubiquitous. I mean, just everywhere. Everyone was there. And then all of a sudden, there was a shift and they were at a whole new place. So there's which was Facebook. So it kind of seems like, yeah, they're getting into this deep learning and whatnot, but maybe around the corner we'll jump that ship and be somewhere else that doesn't. You see what I'm saying? Like, they might be building, this is the hopeful me, right? That they're building whatever they're building, but then we might all go away from that.
Into
much
more attractive and streamlined version of what you were just talking
about?
Well,
but something that started by some other college kid who's not necessarily... Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Was Facebook always part of the Illuminati? You know what I mean? Did they, you know, is the myth the reality?
Well, I mean, I don't
or
it, see, but does Facebook have to be part of the Illuminati?
Does
Mark Zuckerberg have to be that? It's just like when something takes on that level.
Right. I mean, then the Illuminati steps in.
Right. Then Goldman Sachs is like, yeah, we're going to be there for you. And the NSA is like, yeah, we need to have a part of this as well. I mean, chances are this kid probably just had a hard time getting laid at Harvard, right? And I'm cool with that. You know, it doesn't have to be a conspiracy from the beginning. You know, but when the NSA and Goldman Sachs start to get involved, then you're going, okay, well, this is a little bit bigger than just people, you know, updating the status of the health of their cat. Now, this is something a little more intense than that.
Right.
And now it's incredibly important, right? I mean, how much
and
of
certainly
our...
certainly Facebook has been more about keeping you on it than MySpace was, I think. I mean, I didn't even create a MySpace page, so I really don't know all about that. But that was more of a just, here's MySpace. You can put whatever you want up here. But Facebook has been more geared towards keeping you engaged and
interacting
involved
with it, right,
with that,
at all times, right?
So that you don't leave.
It's changing the nature of people and the way they interact socially with other people in a way that, you know, I mean, it used to be you could call somebody's cell phone and they'd answer it.
Right.
Right? Do you remember that?
Briefly.
Do you remember calling somebody's and the person on the other end of the line genuinely had no idea who it was?
Right.
Like, oh, I thought it might be you. Or hello, like a genuine hello. Do you find yourself still saying hello to people?
Right. It's weird because now I do find myself going like, hey, what's up, John? And then they're like going, yeah, this is John. I'm like, I know that.
I mean, I got you here.
You're
in my contacts.
Your picture shows up.
Right. There's a picture of you and a special ring.
No,
people
you're
used,
right. You're
people
right.
used to be genuinely, you know, I don't know who it could possibly be.
Well, and it's funny because I got a call this week that about something, and I didn't answer because I didn't know the number.
Right, exactly.
That's like
that's what people do. If they don't know the number, they don't answer.
Right. It's like,
and half the time, if you do know who it is and they're not texting you, you're like, dude, come on, man. I got time for your phone call.
In the latest version of the iOS for the iPhone,
right?
When the phone rings,
there's an option to answer, or you can send a preset text like, can't talk now, what's up? Can't talk now, I'm on my way, can't talk now, whatever. Right. So, like, you can immediately switch to texting.
Because the worst is when you call somebody's cell phone and it rings twice and then it goes right to voicemail. Because
you know they did it.
You know they just declined your phone call.
Not to give away my secrets, but I just don't answer and then I just let it ring.
Well, that's what you got to do.
Otherwise, like you said, they know.
Out of courtesy.
If it doesn't go immediately to voicemail, which means your phone's off or something, then... And what's weird about it is everybody knows this stuff, so it's not like you're...
It's a game that is played. People think, because I don't have a cell phone, that I don't know this stuff. But I know this stuff. I'm fully aware.
It's like, I know you didn't answer my call, man.
But you see how, I mean, just the simple nature of the way phones work now have changed the way we're willing to engage with communication with other people. In that... Used to be, you had no problem. I mean, it was exciting to answer the phone.
Right.
I don't know who's there. It could be anybody. And now you don't answer the phone unless you know exactly who it is. And chances are, even if you know who it is, you're not even going to answer the phone. You'd be like, dude, I ain't got no time phone call right. with you. Text me. You know? You're not, because, I mean, people used to talk. People used to really talk and have... Nothing to say. They would just do it for the comfort of talking to somebody else. And I guess people still do that.
They text with nothing to say or whatever. And they do it with three or four
different
people.
With the sole intention of trying to get in a car accident. Right?
It seems.
With the sole intention of doing that. Now, if we're... Now, if we, but see, so we can look at it like that. And, you know, okay, so 10 years ago, probably just about everybody had caller ID. Right?
Right.
20 years ago, caller ID was kind of a new thing.
Right.
Caller ID was like, oh, y'all got money? You got one of them? I mean, the caller ID was not integrated into your phone. It was something you had to pay extra to the phone company for.
That's right. It was like an extra $6 a month.
Right. And there was a little box that was between your phone.
Right, right.
And the wall, right? And it was just one of those things.
Then it was amazing that you could get it on the phone.
Remember, people used to answer their doors, too. You'd go knock on somebody's door, and they would... Actually come, I mean, you didn't have to knock like the police either. You could knock all polite like your neighbor, and people would come to the door. But, I mean, it's just the changing nature of the way people interact with other people. And now let's talk, you know, I'm just saying, fast forward that.
It's not the Nexus. Damn it, what is that thing called? Russ, call in here and let me know what I'm thinking of. Because it's not, it is a transhumanistic thing, but that's not the name of it. It's the... The merger is there's a name for it. So sorry,
but you
just
see how all this
singularity.
That's it.
All this nature of the way we communicate with each other and interact with each other, we're only willing to do it now if it's predictable what's going to happen on a level. You know,
right?
And it's that predictability that we're going to come to rely upon.
But that's because we're creatures of. Not just habit, but that's the way we are, right? That's the way we do things.
Is that the way we are? I think people used to want to... I mean, now... It's this idea of social interaction. Being social creatures, social beings. Now we're only willing to do that if we know what we're getting into. With the phone call. Again, answer the phone, don't know who it is... I'll answer it. I don't care who it is. Because I don't... How am I going to know who it is? I mean, it's just the nature of it. It's a big surprise. It could be anybody on the other end of the line. And now you must know who it is before you answer the phone. And maybe you still won't answer the
phone.
That's
because there's so many negative interactions out there now. Like, I mean, the only calls that I get at my house on my home phone are my kids calling me from home. But at home, the only calls that I get are the occasional bill collector and mostly it's charities and people trying to either sell you something or get you to vote for them. It's some sort of telemarketing thing. That's
But I'm not saying, right, I'm not advocating that people go back to answering their phones. I mean, that's not what I'm saying.
That's not the point of what I'm saying here.
Is I'm just saying there used to be a time where people did answer their phones. People don't anymore. And now the only way they're comfortable doing that is if they know who's calling them, you know? Right. And it's the same thing is if Facebook is using deep learning to have, you know, a prediction about what you're engaging in, et cetera. You know, we're talking about uploading some of us, parts of us, a personality of us, you know, to a computer for the purposes of living in a virtual reality. Like, there's only going to be a certain level of all that that we're comfortable with, right? And it's going to be something that we're going to be made comfortable by what the computer is going to tell us that we want, which might actually be stuff that we are motioneered into wanting. That's the whole point. Becoming more and more comfortable and controlled in a situation that we're creating for ourselves, or is being created for us, that we are filling in various unknowns for the computer to then make us more comfortable. I mean, do you see what, am I making any sense?
No, I understand what you're saying. You're not liking this new.
I don't like any technology.
You're not way where you're a Luddite from.
I'm a Luddite with a laptop. I'm a laptop Luddite.
The low techs. Do you ever see? I can't remember the name of the damn movie. It's like Ice Cube was like some. Like anti-technology gang leader. Now, what was that? Free Jack, maybe?
No, I've not seen that.
It was the whole point was that there are people who know enough about technology to disrupt it. That's you. You're kind of one of those kind of guys.
I really don't know enough about
it. Not to disrupt it.
But like I could disrupt
go
my
in
own.
And hack it, but you know enough about it to preach the ills of it.
It's changed people. Smartphones have changed people.
No, all these absolutely.
Things, and we're on a cusp where there's no going back from where we're at right now. People couldn't imagine living without the technologies that they have right now. Right?
No, absolutely.
There's no way that you can go backwards from it. And as it becomes more and more tailored for you individually.
But wouldn't you say that's the
and
same thing?
And as it
thing?
Becomes more and more opportunity for you to spend more of a social and then virtual, you know, in time in these virtual spaces.
But wouldn't you say that's the same thing that's happened before with technologies? I mean, look at the car. I mean, you cycle, and you know that people look at you weird for not driving somewhere. You know what I'm saying? I mean, but that is something that happened with that technology, too, is that we became more and more, you know, you had to be in your own space. You had to, you know what I mean? You people became addicted to their cars. So, I mean, this is just another of those things. I mean, I understand you lamenting that that's who we are, but that's who we are and have been. I mean, I guess I'm saying it's, yes, we have to be aware of that, but are you advocating like a complete unplugging?
Well, here's another thing to remember. What is provable through the history of even the near history or, you know, deep history, pole shifts are real, ice ages are real, expanding Earth is real. Asteroids and meteors are real. So that's the horrible thing about change, is that's the only constant. So even that's, you know, the main.
But I mean, right. But
that's why there's no singularity, because there are forces. You know, it's like the laws of physics or math or, you know, fracticality. These things work. They're nested. Patterns within patterns. You can only go one way down them. You can't go back up them. So that's You know, another thing that they're trying, I think, with a lot of the weather modification and geoengineering, is trying to halt the changes that are inevitable, or at least slow them down while they get this gigantic illusion in place, because it would take very little earth changes to radically alter the whole entire psychological techno grid, and that could be three good earthquakes over this course of a week. And America itself, the New Madrid fault right up the middle. There's a million scenarios, but and they've happened before, that would permanently disrupt this whole thing anyway.
I'm not advocating an unplugging. I'm just saying there's some things you may not want to plug into.
Right.
That's all. I mean, technology is important, but technology is something that needs to be put in its place.
No, absolutely.
Right, and it could never overtake.
People have a hard time with that, though.
People have a hard time with most of this.
Correct.
And it's...
I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've done something like gone to a lecture or gone to some sort of event that people are volunteering to be at and cannot put their damn phones down.
Right.
Can't engage with something for just a moment. Because it's meant to be like that. Or you just see people.
Well, see, I guess that's where I
engaged with.
That's where I break with you, because there's an observation. I think you're right. But then when you say it's meant to be like that, it sounds like the overlords put this in my hand so that I would text, somebody to find out what they're doing on Friday night.
You don't have to just text somebody. You have a bunch of various applications you can do. You can play a game.
Right. But what I'm saying is...
You can find stars.
But what I'm saying is I don't think they put this in my hand so that I can sit here and play bike
race
instead of pay attention to the lecture. That's what I have chosen to do with it. And we have chosen to create game after game after game. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, I also have apps that will, teach me stuff. You know what I mean? What I choose to interact with is the difference.
You remember when you got like your first cell phone and it didn't do anything, but it was fun to change the settings.
Right. And then it was like I spent hours playing Snake. I shouldn't even admit that to you.
Right.
And you'll say, you are the problem.
That's the point, though. That's the way people like the little object. They're like, look at this thing is so cool. It can do so much stuff. But back when it couldn't do anything, you'd still spend all this time not doing anything on it. Now you have all these applications you can literally spend all this time doing stuff on.
Right.
You just do it. How many times? I mean, it's...
And we certainly should put it in its place, and there should be
that's all I mean. And I'm saying
that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Within this deep learning and this artificial intelligence and this idea that Google thinks they're going to be able to upload your brain, et cetera, and immortality in a virtual way, clearly the standard of that living is going to be lower, folks. And it's not going to include all the aspects of, the human being. I'm not saying that it is. I mean, Google probably would tell you that too, I would imagine. But you could just go, hey, no, maybe, is the direction personally that I don't want to go in.
Right.
But I'm not saying that I'm incredibly different from a lot of other people as well either. But it's an illusion thing. It's building upon that illusion. To where in that, there was a microburst in my neighborhood on Thursday.
Oh, really?
Or something. There was a big, nasty rainstorm on Thursday. Happened around 6:30.
Right.
I mean, by the time I got home from work, there was no power on my block, and it looked like somebody had shredded tree leaves and sprinkled them all over my property. So it's like something happened, right?
Right.
And so the next day, all day, we didn't have power. A lot of people, in the neighborhood didn't have power as well. And as I'm leaving to go to work, I'm riding down the street, I'm like, man, look at all these people sitting on their front porch. Like, so neighborly. It was a lovely day, too. It was, the day after a big storm. It's a lovely day. everyone's just kicking it on the front porch, and I realize, oh, that's why they're out here. They don't have electricity.
No, you're right.
That's why they're sitting on their front porch.
No, you're absolutely right.
That's why every other house has somebody, you know, a couple people sitting on the front porch, because there's nothing to do inside involving electricity, so they're sitting outdoors.
No. No, you're absolutely right, because I remember having a thought this week.
And when my neighborhood was designed, you know, those houses...
were neighborly.
Well, right, weren't originally built with electricity, a lot of them. Right. I mean, a lot of the houses in Hyde Park had natural gas lighting.
Right.
I mean, literally had natural gas piping through the walls to give you light at night because electricity was not ubiquitous yet.
Right.
It existed, but it wasn't
But you're absolutely right because, you know, I was freaking out earlier this week. My kid was at the park and everybody thought he was in the house, and he wasn't. He was still down at the park, and his brother had left him. And so we were going down there to get him, and it's like only like a block away, and
it's in Johnson County.
There.
So,
but the thing of it is I was walking down to the park to get him, and you know, like you said, we're getting darker earlier, and so it was starting to get dark. And I remember walking down there and thinking. As I'm walking down there, I'm looking at all the houses that I'm passing. I'm passing probably 15, 20 houses, and not one of them was looking out. I mean, they all were shuttered and lights on inside, so everybody's inside. And I was just sitting there thinking, man, you could snatch a kid and no one would know what the hell happened. You know what I mean? Because I was, like, in this... that brief panic mode where it's like, where's my kid? Where's my kid? And everything was cool. But, you know, but you could, because everyone is so disconnected from each other. There's not a, like, we're all out talking to our neighbors and whatnot. I mean, it was a little past the dinner hour. So what are you supposed to be doing? It's prime time.
Oh, there you go.
Which is my point from earlier, is that we have always oriented ourselves around these new technological things. I mean, the TV brought, you know what
right.
I'm saying? I know we're just going further and further and further down. They're all building on top of one another.
So we got a bunch of books gifted to the house because grandma moved, and books from, you know, childhood, you know, the parents' childhood.
Right.
And we got some Berenstain Bears. You know the Berenstain Bears, don't
you?
Yeah,
right? Love those.
So I'm reading too much TV to my boy who's 7. And too much TV is about the Bear Cubs and Papa Bear watching too much TV.
Yeah.
And it all started when the old black and white TV set
wasn't
broke.
Good enough.
And then they got the color TV set. And then Papa Bear went and put the antenna on top of the Bear family house. And as I'm reading this, I'm looking at my son, and I'm like, you have no idea what's
right.
going on at all in this. I mean, he's like, do you know what a black and white TV is? He's like, of course I do. And I'm like, okay, what is it? He's like, it's TV that's black and white, dude. I mean, how hard is that to figure out? Because most TVs have like kind of...
to a brown.
Well, right. But you look at these monitors, and they're all like black, and they have kind of a silver color
right.
to them. It's like, it's not a red TV, dude. It's a black and white TV.
What kind of question is that?
You think I'm stupid? And trying to explain,
no, you're right.
Trying to explain to a kid what a black and white TV is,
right,
is not an easy thing to do.
And then you start talking about antennas, and they're like, "But where do you put the digital box?"
The idea that you'd have to put an antenna on top of your roof,
right,
to pick up an extra. You know, now we got 4 stations. This is, and they're crystal, and they're clarity.
Well, where's the Netflix on this thing? Right.
And, you know, the frames of reference changed dramatically. So in that TVs, you know, the technology was a game changer. But now you look at these high definition TVs. Have you ever seen a sporting event that's broadcasted
insane.
In high definition on a high definition TV? Jake, have you?
Correct.
It's crazy.
It's more real than reality.
Well, and then even.
It's clearer than being there.
I walked past someone just yesterday, actually. I went to visit someone. I walked past some folks that were there, and they were watching a basketball game. And I went and talked to my friend for a while, and then came back out and passed the people watching the basketball game again. Then it dawned on me, it's not basketball season.
Brian?
It was a freaking video game. And I, like, they looked at me like I was weird, because I was like, my God, that's a video game. It looked so much like a real game, because it was one of those high def, and they looked so realistic, and the announcers and the crowd noise and all of that kind of stuff, just in a passing moment, I didn't even notice that the guy was playing with the controller until when I came back and they introduced me and he set it down. I was like, oh my God, that's a video game. Just, yeah, the technology, the reality, the just amazing. Sorry.
Yeah, my wife pointed out today that Grand Theft Auto sold 12 million units on the first day that it was available. She said, it's amazing if you can get 12 million people to do anything.
Right.
On the same day.
Yeah, it's all of that stuff, man. And it's, but it is, again, it's that we get over saturated in any new technology. You know, I mean, like I said, from the radio to the TV to the, you know, when I was watching an old episode of, well, they're all old, right?
But don't you see how TV has changed pretty dramatically in the last 10 years? I mean, just the nature of the actual television set. It's not even telling me whatever it's called now. Screen, TV screen.
Right.
Because it's not really a set anymore.
My son told me that a 24-inch was a small TV because he's in scouting and they're doing their sales and, you know, you get these little prizes. It was like, if you sell $1 million worth of popcorn, you can get this TV. And he told me it was a little TV, like a 24-inch. And me and my wife, like, just started cracking up because I remember a 25-inch TV was a floor model TV. It took up your room, you know what I mean? It was a big deal. And they're like, that's nothing, man. That's a little bitty screen.
Right.
Because they're used to seeing wall-sized TVs
76
now.
Inch or something, right, exactly. But the size of that has gotten so much bigger. And then, of course, the programming has changed because you have so much of what TV is considered to be reality. Reality TV is kind of like that direction towards virtual reality for everything else on Pooters, where it's not really what's going on. It's a manifestation of something. These are real people, and these are supposedly real situations. This is real stuff that may be going on, all coming together. I mean, it's just, you know, everything has changed so dramatically.
No, you're absolutely.
No, that's my point here. I'm just, you know, be wary when you upload your brain to Google. And when Facebook starts making status updates for you that are correct, that are right on, it's like, I do like that. Or whatever the status updates are, you know, however that works. They start to be, when, you know,
when it predicts that you will attend an event because,
sure,
three of your friends are already doing it. I mean, and then
or when it predicts your excuse for not attending an event.
Well, they're talking about now. That would be funny. He's washing his hair. I read a story or a story entered my mind somehow or another this week about companies looking at your friends on Facebook, basing that and their credit scores on whether or not they will do business with you, whether it be hiring you or making you the loan or whatever. You know what I mean? Kind of, again, that deep learning, right? Like, okay, this guy has such and such a credit score, but here's all these other friends, and if that information is somehow through the data data mining, if they're able to pull that information up about others around you, then it becomes this issue of like, well, his credit score may be acceptable, but he's got this preponderance of his friends that aren't, so he's just an accident waiting to happen. You know what I'm saying? Where they feel like they can make those kinds of observations about you. You know what I'm saying? Based sure. on a number that we already know is like not exactly.
You feel like you're more than your credit. You're more than your credit score.
No, absolutely that. But even that, the credit score is not correct. The information that's on there is something like, I don't know, they've got like a 30% error rate or something crazy like that. But people don't generally fix it, so it just stays there.
816-931-5534. That's 931-KKFIF. Anyone's actually out there listening in reality, and you'd like to share some of your thoughts, you're welcome to do so. We could ask questions if you'd like. Directly to you, the listener. We could ask you questions. Like, what kind of questions could we ask, guys?
So, what do you do about the violence in this freaking city?
Give more people guns, right? You either take guns away or give more people guns. Correct?
There's about too many freaking guns, man.
What about Aaron Alexis, the Navy Yard shooter?
Yeah, that happened this week. And
so then do we give people more guns or take their guns away? Do we give people more medications or do we take their guns away? Or do right. we give people more identification or do we take their guns away? I mean what are we supposed to do here?
Well, see, and that's seriously my question is the gun drama visited me this past week.
Really?
Yeah. Very seriously.
In the RP?
Very seriously. No, not in the RP. My niece was murdered.
What?
Last weekend. And
In Kansas City.
And a lot of people remember I used to talk about my nieces all the time before I got married because that was my kids before I had my kids.
Bystander?
In a manner of speaking, yeah. I mean, she was with her boyfriend, and he got into some beef with somebody, and it escalated, and they both were killed, and then the guy tried to cover it all up by burning the whole scene and moving it all to Kansas City, Kansas, which was a whole
nother... Was this 15th in yeah. Troop?
Where they found a vehicle that was burnt out.
Oh, right.
Then it turned out that it was actually committed over in here in Kansas City, Missouri. But it seems to me that, like... We have a situation where there's a lot of young people who just, that's the way they react. You know what I'm saying? Is to shoot. And the guns are ubiquitous. They're there, so they've got them. And in this particular area, it was very bizarre to be talking with some folks in about the whole situation and kind of listening to people go through like 10 instances in the same area where there had been, it's like, yeah, I got shot right around the corner from there. And I know so-and-so got killed right there. And it was like, it turned out to be like something like 10 or 12 people that people just were like volunteering in this same area. You know, we talked a few weeks ago about the mayor talking about defunding or divesting from gun owners and that kind of stuff, and what value would that have, or gun manufacturers and that.
The city council passed a resolution saying that they wouldn't put any of their city money.
Which they weren't in the first place, so it's really not an issue. I mean, it's not like it's coke, but you know, I'm just torn with what do you do? Because I'm not like a gun grabber. But at the same time, I see that the problem is that there's too many freaking guns. You know what I'm saying? There just are. So, I mean, because of the very simple fact that the reason for a weapon, right, is to kill. There is no, like...
Right. No, that's true. I'm sorry to hear about your niece, man.
And again, I'm not a gun grabber, but how the hell do you get rid of this? How do you bring that back? And then, Jake, that was not very helpful when you say, like, these patterns, you really can't go back up. Because you're right, you can't. We can't decomputerize our society. We can't. I don't see us being able to de-weaponize.
But let me go out on a limb here and say, and you may not know much about the murderer, but I'm going to go with he's probably not very well educated.
Right. No, absolutely.
And he probably had no type of, you know, future or no, no right. investment in his own personal
absolutely.
Future.
Absolutely. That is definitely a humongous part of the problem. I mean, is this the
that would be the problem, I think. I think that's that in itself is bigger than the actual firearm.
Right. And that's what brings the firearm. I mean, I understand that. I mean, if people had futures and education and some sort of chance or perceived chance, then they wouldn't grab a gun. I mean, I didn't grab a gun. I grabbed a ticket. You know what I'm saying? I grabbed a ticket out. I don't live in that area. I grew up in that area. I don't live in that area for that reason. I'm not trying to live where I have to worry about that. You know what I'm saying? And not everybody can or wants to or should. Please don't look down on me because I got out the hood. You see what I'm saying? But at the same time, you know, I understand the reason you picked up that gun is because you felt like I got to have this because this is the way my society is. So I have to have a gun on me at all times. But the problem is when you have a gun on you at all times, when you get into a situation, these folks were were intoxicated. And from what I understand, it wasn't even some like, I hate you. They were all together. And it just was something that, because there was a gun in hand or at the ready, a situation got ugly fast and grew deadly.
No, I hear you. I mean, they say that there's twice in America, you know, twice as many people suicide themselves every year as are people murdered. So there are twice as many suicides every year than there are murders.
Wow.
And they're saying that within those statistics, if you have a gun in your house, you are 50% more likely to kill yourself than if you don't have a gun in your house. Or, you know, if you have thoughts of ideation, if you're a suicidal and you have a gun, you have access to a gun.
It just makes it so quick.
Right. But then if you have a loaded gun in your house and you're also suicidal, I mean, the chances of you killing yourself just become astronomical at that point.
Crazy.
And to then take that back to, okay, so Chris Rock was right. Bullets need to be $500 a piece.
And it's very, I mean, but then, you know, I have a friend too today or this week I talked to, and he was talking about he had just joined a gun club and was going out shooting targets and stuff and invited me out.
Was
and
he
I
rich?
Might do it. No, he wasn't rich. He was just.
Have you seen the price of ammunition lately?
Well, he did make the point that he's having a hard time finding ammunition right. for, you know, a weapon.
Which, if anything, I mean, you'd think that might. Because it's been, we're going on over a year now. I mean, it was Sandy Hook. So it was last December, right?
Yeah,
Sandy
Hook. Right. Just, yeah.
Okay. So that's
20 since Obama was elected. So that's 6 years, 5 years? 20.
Well, the price of ammunition did not blow up until after Obama was reelected and the Sandy Hook massacre happened.
Right.
That's when the price, the supply of ammunition disappeared. And that's why the prices have been so high, if you can even get ammunition. And then in this year, I believe murders are up in Kansas City 5 over this year than they were last year at this time. So even the scarcity of bullets, and bullets for handguns. I mean, that you can buy rifle ammunition still, and you can buy it at a reasonable price. But handgun ammunition is what you have not been able to get. And violent crimes in Kansas City have not gone down. Violent crime with handguns. Shootings in places like Chicago and other cities that have issues with violent crime have not gone down, have not diminished at all, which is quite amazing.